First, a group of white nationalists carried torches to protest the removal of a Confederate statue in Charlottesville, Virginia, over the weekend. The group was opposing a plan to sell a statue of Robert E. Lee and was led by nationalist Richard Spencer. Scuffles broke out during the protest, but there were no injuries or arrests. Charlottesville's own mayor had opposed taking down the monument, but he said the protest with torches was either, quote, profoundly ignorant or was designed to instill fear in our minority populations in a way that harkens back to the days of the KKK. The debate over Confederate symbols has been going on for decades, but it took center stage over the last 2 years especially. A series of monuments have been removed in New Orleans, while some states are considering laws that would stop local governments from removing monuments. Opponents of Confederate monuments see them as symbols of racism, while some supporters consider them historically and culturally important. Joining us now to share her take on the debate is Christine Emba. She's a columnist at the Washington Post. You can see her writing on this on the Central Time Facebook page. Christine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you've been writing about these efforts, these arguments over monuments. What do you think the efforts to take them down are accomplishing? What's the goal of removal or relocation, in some cases, of Confederate-related monuments?
Sure. Well, I think the goals of taking these monuments down and what the movement to take them down are accomplishing are unfortunately two different things. I think that right now, especially, I think after Dylann Roof's shooting in Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston, people have increasingly come to recognize and see symbols of the Confederacy, the Confederate flag, monuments to Confederate generals, etc., as hearkening back to a time that we shouldn't be celebrating. You know, we put up monuments. Monuments are usually to celebrate the achievements of, you know, to show respect for and reverence for their subjects. And when we're revering, you know, the Confederacy, it implicitly says that we're revering what the Confederacy stood for, which was, in fact, a time of white supremacy, a fight to continue to keep slavery as an institution in the United States. And people are pushing back against that.
And
unfortunately,
go ahead, yeah.
Oh, sure, sorry. Unfortunately, taking them down, I think, has produced a bit of a backlash because people, you know, think that it means that they're trying to hide the past or in kind of a more nefarious sense that they're somehow a pushback against whiteness or Southern culture in some way.
And you write that this argument isn't really about history in some ways. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what I was saying just now. A lot of people talking about the monuments say, you know, oh, we need to have the monuments. They're a part of our past. They're representing the past. They're about history. But if you ask people, you know, especially some of the most fervent monument savers and protesters, what the history is, you know, what do you know about Robert E. Lee? Are you a huge fan of PGT Beauregard? These are two statues that are being taken down in New Orleans, for example. They won't know. It's not about history for them. When you think about even the white nationalist protest that just happened in Charlottesville this weekend, ostensibly the protest, the hashtag, was billed as Save Jackson and Lee. This protest was clearly not about saving the statues of General Robert E. Lee or preserving Stonewall Jackson's memory. In fact, the chant that Richard Spencer said at this protest was, and I quote, "What brings us together is that we are white. We are a people, and we will not be replaced." That's not about statues or about history or about, you know, writing the history books correctly. That's about race promotion and white nationalism. That's something very different from what, oh, we want to save the statues for history, says.
Why do you think these Confederate statues and memorials became markers for this expression of white identity, white nationalism?
Well, one of the interesting things about a lot of these monuments is that they did not go up during the Civil War or necessarily even directly after the Civil War. Many of them, again, I'm thinking of the ones in New Orleans, went up during after Reconstruction as a pushback to the ideals of Reconstruction, a way to sort of take back the memory of the Confederacy and rewrite it as something else. You know, again, they raised these statues to revere the people who were being depicted, to draw a picture of them as fighters for liberty, you know, honored ancestral figures, people to support while, you know, sort of forgetting the fact that what they were fighting for was something that, you know, today we're against.
We're talking to Christine Emba. She's a columnist at the Washington Post, talking about Confederate memorials, what they mean, why some local governments are working to take them down, why protesters want them to stay in place. Christine, do you think there's a right way to mark the past, to put it into context instead of just having this free-floating memorial?
Right. Well, I think that's actually something that a lot of these states and places are thinking about. And it's really dependent on context. So I'm actually calling you today from Richmond, Virginia, which is where I grew up. It was the capital of the Confederacy, has many, many monuments of its own. And this city is even thinking about the best way to, you know, both remember that time in history. Obviously, it was an important part of our history. But again, you know, not necessarily to celebrate the ideals of the Confederacy and what the Confederacy stood for. The statues in New Orleans are being removed, but the hope is actually to place them in a museum in proper context, you know, talking about the history around them, talking about where they originated, who the statues are from. And I think that's actually a good solution. You know, we're not destroying history. We're not pretending that it didn't happen. But we're taking it from literally being on a pedestal, something that says that we're celebrating it, even if implicitly and not explicitly, and putting it in its proper context where people can both discuss the issue and what surrounds it.
It reminds me, I was just out in Washington, D.C., and at the Jefferson Memorial, definitely a very, very imposing memorial, but in the information area, there was a very substantial part saying, you know, Thomas Jefferson, while he had all these great things that he did in regard to human liberty and freedom, was also a slave owner himself, and acknowledging the paradox and the contradictions. Is this something that we need to do more of?
I think so. I mean, when you think about America's history, it's full of contradictions. We have great leaders who, in many cases, made bad decisions or did bad things. You know, all of our leaders have feet of clay. And it's not a degradation of history or dishonoring of the past to acknowledge the fact that some good things happened and also some bad things happened, and some of them were done by the same people. But the thing that we need to do, I think, both to come together as a nation and to move forward, is to actually acknowledge that. And that means, in some cases, uncomfortable work, you know, thinking about whether the person that you revere, you know, there's this sort of ugly side to this. And I have to say, like, yes, I do in fact agree that, you know, slaveholding wasn't great. That was bad. And not pretend that it didn't happen. I think the real whitewashing of history happens when you refuse to acknowledge that the past wasn't perfect.
I'm talking to Washington Post columnist Christine Emba about backlash against efforts to take down Confederate monuments and statues in parts of the South. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think these monuments should be taken down? Why or why not? What impact do you think that removing Confederate symbols has? Is there a right way to have them? Maybe not on the town square, but in a museum with some context, as our guest was talking about. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. I'm picking up our conversation with Christine Emba, columnist at the Washington Post, looking at the removal of Confederate monuments after torch-bearing nationalists demonstrated the removal of statues in Charlottesville, Virginia. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or with a post on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you think Confederate monuments should stay up? Should they be taken down, moved? What good do you think it will do? What do you think it means if we leave them in place? If you live in a community that's deciding whether or not to remove a controversial historic monument or symbol, definitely want to hear from you at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. Paul is with us in Milwaukee. Paul, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you think?
It's a very interesting debate. I've got to say this, though. I do not think that the public at large benefits from sequestering reality into quote-unquote proper boxes, such as the museum or this and that. I think part of understanding how things can get better and happen is understanding the ugliness from which discord and hurt sprang. If you if you take these statues and you take them away, all you're trying to do is alter reality and revision reality. I think part of this nation, what we have to deal with, is our ugliness, is our history of what we did. By keeping it, you get the most exposure by being in the parks and understanding that, wow, people have different perspectives on this war, and why would they? The Civil War is a very complex issue as well. Racism is not. Racism is less complex, and it's more morally understood to be right or wrong. But all the things that went into the Civil War and the pride, the way that people get put on one side or another, is something that should be open to debate and examination by the greater public. I just want to add that Justice Marshall had one of the great statements of all time: the key to censorship the key to ugly speech is not censorship, it's more speech. And I would propose building an answer monument across a rebuttal type of structure across from those statues that comment on all the progress we've made since then, but including Jim Crow and after post-Reconstruction, the mistakes of reclamation, Jim Crow, and the triumph of Black Power movements and egalitarianism in the country.
Paul, thanks for the call. Christine, what do you think? That leave them up, but answer them with other monuments that fill out the story.
I think your point about, you know, having more discussion and having room for more debate is a great point. I think that's always the case. But in some cases, also, you have to think of feasibility. Is it feasible to build a new monument in front of every old Civil War monument? Like, will that really spark discussion? Another thing is that we can remember history without having, you know, these pedestaled monuments in celebration of these figures. You know, historical places are many in the United States. There are the battlefields, which we keep as, you know, historical centers. There are places like Robert E. Lee's home in Arlington. Those are historic. Those should be and are maintained. But I'm not sure that we also need the statues, which usually, in fact, don't spark much discussion, but instead serve as physical rallying places, for instance, in this case in Charlottesville, for white supremacy and for people who I think want to reify the past. I don't know that we need to keep those in place, otherwise we risk forgetting. When you think about other countries that have had, you know, these major conflicts in which their values have come into question, you know, I'm thinking the obvious example here is modern Germany. You know, modern Germans don't fly swastikas to remember that the Third Reich existed. They haven't forgotten that it happened. It's definitely still queer. But there's also a way to remember these times and, yes, put them into context and actually spark discussion in a way that also doesn't reinforce, by celebrating the winners of oppression, the causes that sparked these conflicts in the first place.
Paul, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Jackie with us in Lancaster. Jackie, hi.
Hi. I think the speaker just was saying what I was thinking. Like, we don't have any statues of Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, other people that, you know, oppressed and tortured people. We probably shouldn't have put up statues of people that represented a government that tortured and enslaved part of our population, and we haven't done that from any other war or conflict we've been in.
Jackie, thanks for the call. Christine, agreeing with your point there. And we've heard a lot about the protest and reaction from Richard Spencer and white nationalists. What's the reaction, I guess, in communities when these statues stay up for, say, minority communities in an area that has a large Confederate memorial population in the area?
I mean, Charlottesville in and of itself is a town that's at least 20% African-American, I think. And what the mayor said, I think, was correct, that the protest in front of the statue was meant to spark fear and to remind the minority population of Charlottesville that, you know, they once were in a certain place, you know, and they should remain there and will in the future. I think that one thing, I mean, I grew up, again, like I said, in Richmond, Virginia, as a black woman. And, you know, you see all of these monuments, all of these roads named after Confederate soldiers. Like, what it reinforces, even if you don't think about it directly, is that that's the history worth celebrating. You know, there's a monument to Robert E. Lee, which means that, like, Robert E. Lee is the person who we celebrate in this town. And celebrating Robert E. Lee or Jefferson Davis necessarily means that we celebrate the Confederacy in this town. And celebrating the Confederacy necessarily means that, you know, we celebrate the time period in which one segment of the population, one that includes myself and other minorities, was in second place, was seen as less than. The cornerstone of the Confederacy was that black people were inherently unequal to white people and should remain so forever, and thus slavery was justified. And as we celebrate the Confederacy, that's still what we're celebrating, whether you talk about it in terms of, oh, we're just recalling history or not.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Christine, we're still arguing over the meaning of the Civil War, what, 150 years after the fact. Do you see any progress being made in the way we're talking about that history?
I do. I think that one piece of hope is simply that we are talking about it. Even in the years after the Civil War, a lot of effort was made to just sort of assuage wounds. The South lost, and that caused a lot of discord in the United States. So there was a lot of sort of self-soothing mythology that we allowed to grow up around the Civil War, that, oh, it was about liberty, and, you know, everybody was honorable, and that's great. Okay. But now I think we're beginning to have a few of these harder discussions about what it stood for, what it should stand for today, you know, where we're going as a country. And that takes conflict, and we're seeing that happen now in the discussion of what to do with these statues.
And that's a good place to leave it. Thanks to Christine Emba, columnist at the Washington Post. She joined us to talk about controversy surrounding the removal of Confederate monuments in southern states. You can find her column at the Central Time Facebook page.